In compliance with the Open Public Meeting Act, this is a regular meeting of the Township Committee. The meeting notice has been posted at the municipal building and distributed to Hunter and View, Courier News, The Express Times, the Hunter County Democrat, and the Star Ledger. Would all please rise for flag salute, followed by a moment of silence for our servicemen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Okay, we have presentations and minutes for the regular meeting of June 7th, 2017.
I have a change. I don't know if I'm going to make a motion. But
well, change is first.
Okay. Yeah, I have a change under old business where we talked about Lebanon Township Museum Lavatory Facility Addition. I just wanted to, I had mentioned that I questioned if the committee really should be spending about $140,000 for a bathroom if that's how the bids come in. So that was left out. Other than that, I'm good.
Okay. Can I get a motion to approve with amendments?
I'll make a motion to approve the regular meeting of June 7, 2017 with Committeewoman Kohler's amendment.
I'll second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Then we have the minutes of the executive session of June 7, 2017. Amendments or motion?
I'll make a motion to approve the executive session minutes of June 7th, 2017.
Second. Roll call.
Who's second?
Mike.
Okay.
Yes.
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 Okay, we have public comment. Can I get a motion to open a public comment limited to agenda items only?
So moved.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Okay, now open a public comment, limit to agenda items only. Have a seat. Who are you? Where do you come from?
No. Gail Glassoff, from the Shop Steward for Edmund, for the CWA. I saw the first agenda when it got posted, and I noticed under old business, it states a tax assessor employment agreement. So I put an open request in to get a copy of it, which I haven't received. But that's the main reason why I'm here. I just want to remind all of you that anybody who works 20 hours a week does not get prorated time off for anything. Now, I know this happened in the past several years ago where they did, and the union wasn't even aware of it at the time. But then when we tried to correct it, they took the prorated time away from, you know, and you ended up in a lawsuit. And so the person got to keep it because they were granted it at that time. Does the person that you're going to hire for the assessor's job, is she aware that we have a union? I don't know. I'm wanting to ask.
I believe she is, yes.
Okay. All right. Because I have one of the last contract for her so she can have it. Bob Yeager wrote a letter to Karen for the committee. I would like to read it into the record, if that is that's okay with all of you. It says, "Dear Ms. Sandors, it has been brought to the local 1040 of CWA's attention that the township expects to fill the tax assessor's position and is currently interviewing prospective candidates. While we understand that the position must be filled with a person who has the necessary qualifications, education, and required certification, the township should be cognizant of the fact that the tax assessor's position is represented by the union under the collective bargaining agreement. The union intends to continue to represent the tax assessor's position pursuant to the PERC certification. Thank you for your attention to this communication, Bob Yeager, principal staff representative for the CWA local. Are you planning to give goodies to this person that's not required?
Well, Mayor, I'm not sure we want to discuss this publicly. You can listen to the comments, and then we'll have discussions in executive session, Gail.
The committee hasn't even gotten to review it ourselves. That's why it was never given to Oprah. You know, your Oprah request, because you can't have something that we haven't even confirmed.
Well, that's true. I thought you all had it.
No.
And Gail, you could say whatever you want. You know, they just can't say as much as they might want to say, simply because of the situation.
It's just that prorated time off under 20 hours by law is not, it can't be done. If we were a civil service township, then they would get it, because there had been a lawsuit many years ago, I think it was back in the 70s, somebody did a lawsuit because they were civil service and they weren't getting the prorated time, you know, that was coming to them, and they won. So, but under civil service, you can get the prorated under the 20 hours. If you're not civil service, it doesn't apply. You can't have it. And for any of you that have been in a union or still are, or whatever, the importance of following the contract, you know the importance of that. And that's why I'm here, because I really, the last time I wrote a letter asking please follow the contract, you did. Not maybe the five of you didn't, but the people that were sitting up there at the time, they did. And the next person that got hired did not get any prorated time off. They followed the contract. And now I'm thinking that maybe that's not going to get followed now. And I think you want us to follow the contract. It's a two-way street. You guys have to follow it, too. So please keep that in mind in your discussions when you're in executive session and stuff.
Gil, you don't have to answer this, but one of the things the committee might want to know is, other than just the desire to follow the contract, is there any reason that a person coming in under the circumstances of a tax assessor, would the union not want her to get vacation time?
Under 20 hours a week, you're not entitled to it. Uh-huh. In the contract, and if I'm not mistaken, by state law too, under 20 hours, you do not get prorated time off for anything. And it's in the contract. And I'm just asking that they keep that in mind for when they're, hiring whoever's going to get hired, that they're not going to get it. And I understand they're only going to be working, one day a week? I mean, it's not. Mary was here 2 days a week. But I understand it's going to be a one-day-a-week position. So it's, 8 hours? So, please just keep it in mind, because, like I said, you want us to abide by the contract. You guys have to, too. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else?
See no other public interested. I'll make a motion to close the public comment.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Okay, we have ordinance for a public hearing for the Township of Lebanon, Ordinance 2017-03, an ordinance amending and supplementing Chapter 125, Article 2, concerning the licensing of kennels of the Code of the Township of Lebanon. Can I get a motion to open to public hearing?
So moved.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. There are any public comments regarding the ordinance 2017-03 amending the Chapter 125 regarding kennels? Now's your time. Seeing none, I get a motion to close.
Make a motion to close the public hearing for ordinance number 2017-03.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Is there any discussion amongst the committee? If not, can I get a motion to approve?
I'll make a motion to approve ordinance number 2017-3, amending and supplementing the article concerning licensing of the kennels of the Code of the Township of Lebanon.
I'll second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Okay, the next item is really just regarding the bid for the ambulance. I don't know if you want to come up, Jim. You know, after the last meeting, the price came in. We only got one bid. I know my concern was, I know Tom's concerns, I think everybody's concern was, it's one bid. You know, so we're not, it doesn't feel like we're doing our deal. You interrupted me.
Sorry.
We're not doing our due diligence for the community. I know you guys have put a lot of time into it. We've kind of asked you, and to your, you know, point, you put a lot of effort into it. I had contacted the company that provided the ambulance for High Bridge, I think last year. It's actually the one that I believe is stationed here during the day. And they provided a bid, which is in everybody's packet. And this one comes in at $30,000 less, which, you know, for mine, I wanted just a, you know, understanding of this. And I guess the biggest thing is, in the way I understand it, is the Horton products that are in the machine we have now is really what dictated the bigger ticket, is that it's a proprietary and it's not easily, you know, pretty much, I guess, is one distributor or one supplier is the way I see it. It's the way I understand it. And I mean, talking to this guy and this, the manufacturer, they said everywhere bandages go, the cabinetry can be made identical to match. And the way I understand it, the switches, where it would be Horton switches, there maybe is a push button or a toggle or whatever. It'd be a button could be in the same place. It'd be a rocker or some other switch. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I want you guys to be comfortable with it. I'm not making a decision tonight. I want you to go over that, maybe look at the High Bridge machine. Obviously,
I did today.
Okay.
Because I had actually requested that it be stationed up here so I could come up and look at it. In all honesty, I don't think you're comparing apples to apples.
Okay. Well, that's part of what I want to understand.
A lot of compartment space by switching this.
Okay.
And while it's not technically classified as a rescue ambulance, we do carry a larger cache of fire or rescue equipment on it, such as that we carry SCBA on our ambulances because we have dual certified people, and in some instances that ambulance may be used as a piece of fire apparatus if I don't have a driver for an engine. And also with travel times and stuff like that, to get rescue equipment to a motor vehicle accident earlier in this township, we do, like I said, we have a little bit more than most EMS-only agencies have.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know some of those items, obviously. The key thing, I don't know if that box is the identical box, you know, that's there. I mean, that's basically, he told me about that just because that's their quality of their workmanship, what they do, you know.
And having talked to, you know, the High Bridge guys, I mean, as far as quality, they're happy with it. But like I said,
you know, and obviously this is that was a 350 chassis. This still meets with the 450 and the diesel, so it's sticking with what you guys feel you need for the bigger machine. The biggest thing is understanding the box, and yeah. I can, you know, get from him if he wanted, but he didn't know your layout.
Yeah.
You know, a drawing, you know, of it too. He can go. He'll go that far to do that, prep that for us. I don't know. Like I said, the size, you know, you can probably look through there and see what the sizing is to see.
It's much easier to see
Yeah.
A drawing of it.
Right, exactly. You know, so I said I just wanted a number first to see if we're going to have a conversation,
okay.
You know, realistically. And, I mean, I think $30,000 is worth a conversation.
Yeah. Yeah, like I said, I don't want you guys to be disappointed either if they come back and say, well, to do something more similar to the layout we have now, you're going to be paying.
I have no problem with that. I have no. If they come back and they tell me it's $240,000 to make it more like that, then I'm saying, hey, we might as well go with what we're sticking with and it's comfortable. But if they're saying, yeah, this meets that, and we're going to come in and we'll take a picture of your box and duplicate it,
yeah.
You know, like I said, I think everybody here would be hard pressed to say let's spend $30,000 more.
Yeah.
So that's really that I'll, you know, looking at the number, getting the number. We got that yesterday. I think he dropped it off. He said he would do a box sketch, you know, of what would be there.
Did he by chance say what timeout was on that? Just out of curiosity, because I know with us to spec that it was about a 3-month process.
I don't know. I didn't get that far to, you know, to ask. I just wanted first. I really wanted a number and if they could meet your requirements of what you guys needed. So and so we'd have some kind of other number to go with other than one. And this would be purchased through Houston Galveston Co-op is what they go through.
Okay.
So we wouldn't have to deal with it, you know, another bidder.
Well, that's on the assumption that that box is on HVAC with the chassis combination, which is
correct.
The same issue we ran into with
BCI. Well, as I understand it, their issue was they don't do Horton.
No, HVAC has a Horton on there. It's with the 550 chassis as opposed to the 450 chassis, which was what we ran into the problem with.
Okay. Yeah, I remember you saying that, too. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'll reach out to them. Like I said, now that I know the number, it's worth talking and seeing what it is, seeing if I can get the drawings and seeing how it matches up. And then we can have a better, at least feel confident one way or the other when making a decision, not just on one number that we don't know. I mean, we want to get it, but we want to make sure we're doing right by you and the community.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we have this resolution here, but it's really just a placeholder for us to have this discussion. So, I don't know if the rest of you got to see it, but the specs in there and the pricing's in there. And that's where we're going with this at the moment, unless somebody has some other thought. Tom?
No, I don't. The only other thought was originally I thought that the... this is going back to the co-op, Houston Galveston, right?
Right.
I thought that they would only put a 550 chassis on there, but this is a F450 chassis on here. But
there's different box combinations with different manufacturers on the Galveston. Like I said, just for example, the Horton has the same type box on a 550 chassis that's on the HJC.
Okay.
That's not the
same. So they will work with an F450 chassis with non-Horton box.
Could be, possibly. Or we could be back in the same boat where it's another F550 chassis with a similar box or a 350 chassis with a similar box. Or, you know, I mean, it's...
Okay. But your goal is a 450 chassis,
yeah,
correct?
Right.
With diesel?
Yes.
Yes. And that's what this number is based around, is around that. So it's coming up with how does the box... It really comes down to then, does this box meet the sizing and for your storage needs and everything like that? I mean, if it comes back and it's smaller and everything like that, then that's... That helps us make the determination too as to why the number is cheaper if it's small.
If I'm understanding it correctly, and I just want to confirm, this is Hybridge's box layout, right?
No. Okay, it's based on your spec. I gave him the specification from that we put out the bid,
okay, and he compared it to what he has available to him. And, okay.
Exactly. So hopefully, it's the sizing is similar, but that. Like right now, I just said, give me a number so we can have this discussion at this point, and so I could say we're moving forward one way or the other. And that's really what this intent was. And like I said, $30,000 is worth investigating further.
Absolutely.
So basically, the resolution for the ambulance you can put aside because we're obviously not going to be doing that right now. So another discussion about that right now? Okay. Okay. We are at resolution 65, 2017 resolution for renewing hate that word.
Plenary.
Retail consumption license. This is for, why can't I see it here?
Hampton Inn.
Hampton Inn, thank you. The New Hampton Inn. Where they have paid their filing fee of $200 to the state and the township licensing fee of $2,500. It's for the year of 2017-2018. I get a motion to approve.
I'll make a motion to approve Resolution 65-2017, renewing the retail plenary license, retail consumption license for the New Hampton Inn.
I'll second.
Roll call.
Abstain.
Yes.
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 We have another resolution, 66-2017, for the man, I don't know why I can't say that word.
Sounds like canary. Plenary.
Plenary. Plenary retail distribution license for Bourbon Street Wine and Liquors. They have also paid their filing fee of $200 and the $2,500 licensing fee to the township. Can I get a motion to approve?
I'll make a motion to approve resolution number 66-2017, resolution renewing a plenary retail distribution license for Bourbon Street Liquors.
I'll second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Okay, then we have resolution 67-2017, granting the fireworks permit to AB Stainless Valve and Fitting Company for July 8th, 2017 at 9 p.m. At the AMB Stainless Company's facility. It has been inspected by our fire official. Can I get a motion to approve?
I'll make a motion to approve Resolution 67-2017 for the permit granting fireworks permit to AMB Stainless Valve and Fitting Company.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. The next is Resolution 68, appointing our new fire official. Before I do that, I just want to thank and the, you know, I think for myself and the committee, appreciation to Sue Schlesinger for the 6 months she spent stepping up to be our interim and temporary fire official while we went through the interview process and understanding the needs for the community. So we are going to appoint Gary Apgar as the fire official at hourly rate of $25.19. Can I get a motion to approve?
I'll make a motion to approve Resolution 68-2017, appointing Gary Apgar as our fire official.
I'll second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Okay, this is Resolution 69-2017, resolution in support of TWA application for Block 28, Lot 38. Basically, it's the old AMP property. Is that why you're here? I don't know if you want to come up and explain what it's for. Since you made the drive here, you might as well talk to us.
Basically, what's happening is we're doing a repair. The current septic pipes run underneath the building.
And just for the record, you want to just state your name and address and who you are and who you represent.
Yeah. My name is Dan Parker from Parker Engineering.
Thank you.
And so we're making a proposal to abandon the laterals that are underneath the building and just come out of the back of the building and around to the septic tanks. And that's basically why we're here. And
you're banning the laterals or the feed line?
The lateral to the sewage to the
Okay.
It's the
outflow.
Yeah, I think it currently runs under the building, and they're having problems with blockages and things like that.
Gotcha.
And since it's a more than 2,000 gallons per day, it's not done by the Hunterdon County Health Department. It's done by the DEP. Mm-hmm. The DEP application requires a signature from the township. That's why we're here.
And then it'll get filled up? There'll be a store in there then?
I think there is a tenant for the AMP store. So
that was going to be my question. Is there anything you could inform us in terms of the use of that building that this will be satisfied?
That I don't know.
But I mean, the septic repairs you're doing contemplate a use, I assume.
Actually, we're only doing repair to the restaurant and I think to the bank.
Oh.
At this time.
Okay.
So if the store turns into another use, they'll have something else happening there.
Yes.
You can repair one at a time. Okay.
Yes.
So can we get, if there's no other questions, can we get a motion to approve?
I'll make a motion to approve resolution number 69-2017 in support of the TWA application for the septic.
I'll second.
Roll call.
Abstain.
Yes.
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 Thank you for coming in.
Is there any way someone can sign this?
It's in your own sign. I'm not sure. I was just thinking that possibly sign the resolution. Because you need a copy of the resolution, of course. So.
I just need to sign the consent application, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
The resolution.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
The next item is resolution 70-2017, which I would like to table till after executive, which is the tax assessor, because we can't really appoint somebody if we don't have something agreed upon as far as on our end.
So I have some comments, though, on this resolution as it exists.
You can make those after the, you
I'd
know,
like to make them in public.
No, the resolution would be either voted on in public, so it might be premature.
Public executive?
No.
When we come
if
out.
If the process would be this, mm-hmm. You go into executive session, the terms of any agreement mm-hmm. are negotiated,
mm-hmm.
and then if there is consensus, then there would be another public session, at which time there would be a discussion. There would be a motion with respect to the resolution. Somebody would say, I move the motion, assuming it gets second, mm-hmm. and public discussion. So
you're saying next meeting?
No. I think they're talking about after the executive session.
We come out of executive. We go back into public.
Nobody's going to be here.
They're welcome to be here.
It'll be
on record.
It'll be in a minute.
In the executive, well, all right, well, I.
Whatever.
Because none of this may apply.
Yeah. All right.
It's still public record. I mean, it's
everybody's welcome to stay.
Yeah.
You know.
I'll go get them. Okay. Stay.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, so we're tabling that until here. After executive.
All right. No
problem. Okay. Then we have resolution 71-2017, which is return of overpayment of taxes. We're an overpayment of $1,619.97 for second quarter 2017 for duplicate payment for block 26, lot 13, 203 North Road. Dale P. and Tammy L. Grover. Can I get a motion to approve the return of overpayment?
I'll make a motion to approve Resolution 71-2017, return of overpayment of 2017 taxes in the amount of $1,619.97.
Can I get a second? Okay, I'll second it. Can I get a motion?
Abstain. Thank you.
Yes. You can do roll call? Yeah.
Yes.
Abstain.
Okay, now I understand. Okay. Now we have the memo from Warren regarding our employee that we have put in as a temporary. Basically asking if we extend it until he receives another certificate on his license, I guess. Is that an endorsement? Which I don't see an issue with, since we've had no...
Been working out great, so...
Working out good for you?
Yeah.
Both new... Both new employees that you have?
Yes. Personnel. Oh, okay. As long as he's complimentary, I don't think anybody will ever complain.
No problem.
Just a written endorsement.
Yeah, it's the air brake endorsement. So basically, he's looking to extend his temporary status until September 6th, and I don't. So if I can get a motion to approve that.
Make a motion to approve the extension until September 6th, 2017 committee meeting.
I'll second that.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Then we also have a memo from Warren regarding summer help. Guess didn't get anybody you really wanted. So
we only got one application. And after I talked to her, she didn't think that she was going to be qualified to do it. So it was kind of a mutual agreement that she wasn't
going to
do it.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, I mean, luckily you do have more manpower, so hopefully it help, you know, you can still meet some of the goals you're looking for.
Well.
You jump on the tractor?
Got air conditioning?
Doesn't work.
I'm in.
While we're on the topic of Warren DPW, one of the things that I had noticed and had emailed Warren and was regarding some of the, with the new paving, it's raised the roadways in some spaces, which has created drop-offs close to the edge of the roadways. I've also noticed some areas because of it, because there's no support, it seems like it's starting to break away, or you can see cracking right along the edges. I guess from Warren, there's concern of, depending on where it is going back and putting dirt in there or gravel in there to fill it, I guess, based on some of the properties or what, you know. My thought is in some of the areas like that, that it's a traffic safety issue. It's a road condition. Unless you're changing somebody's lawn or, you know, I would think we can address it as a safety issue that it should be done, unless I'm way off base.
Well, when we did Pleasant Grove, the DEP was going to fine us if I didn't dig out what we put in there. Mm-hmm. The edge of the road. I even explained to him what I was doing because it was a drop off there and we had people go off the road and hit the trees there and stuff, and they told us no, they made us take it out. Yeah. I even walked the whole road with them and explained the spots that I wanted to fix, and he said no, it's not necessary.
Okay.
And I got the letter in the file over there where it says he was going to find us if we didn't get
Can you send it to me? Because I've actually had conversations with people with those same issues at the state that saying, are you ticked off at the DEP for doing things that they shouldn't be doing and overstepping? So I'd like to know that, because I think that's an overstep. A traffic safety issue in areas like that, I think, is an overstep.
Is that road there in a wetland? Is that the reason why?
The road is wet area, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, but that whole area, any place where there's ferns and skunk cabbage, you're not allowed to put anything in there. They don't even want us cutting the grass there. He says, but we do let that go because we understand, yeah, it's a site distance and stuff like that, but they don't want us even doing that.
But also, you know, my conversation was about Hoffman's Crossing, but by the Learning Center.
that was the previous, and I know the previous owners of it didn't want us to put it, because he always had people driving up over the bank and stuff, and he didn't want them up in there.
Right.
So that's why that was.
Yeah, I think, I mean, at the end of the day, you can see that that is, I don't know if you drive at Hoppage Crossing, you see the tight turn there right across from the driveway. It's a sheer drop. I mean,
and
I've...
The road's 50 foot wide.
Huh?
The road's 50 foot wide in that instance.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure. But the people coming northbound, when you're going southbound, think it's only 10. And they want to take the 10 that you're on. I've literally been driven off the road, and like I said in my email, Hoffman's, when they were doing the work there, they were trying to do some crazy K-turn that forced me literally to go up on that hill, too. And it's when you hit those unusual bumps on the edge, it can throw you for a loop. So I don't see a reason why some of those can't be. I mean, the wetlands, maybe I can see somewhat of a reason, but I'd still like to have a conversation with them to understand where, you know, but areas where we can address that really shouldn't be, you know, if we're putting a brand new road, we should be able to maintain it and keep it as new as we can without having to break away and worry about it breaking away or creating a traffic hazard. I mean, unless I'm way off base.
No, I believe wider the better. Cut all the trees down on the edge. I think we should follow the county road specs, you know, and do it right.
Well, that's a little extreme, but I'm just saying make sure we try to keep ours in.
Oh, I didn't say state specs. I said county specs. No. You know, I kept it in between.
Well, like I had said to you in my email, you may go down Red Mill. You can see we filled in a lot of the bad spots where we could. And where the homeowners didn't have a problem with it. But like I said, we try and accommodate the residents and stuff, too.
No, I understand that, too.
People run me off the road all day long.
Yeah. And it can be on a straightaway.
But it's just something I've noticed, and I don't want to, you know, we've spent a lot of money on roads. I want to see if we can, whatever we can do to maintain them and keep them nice, too. Because next, you'll be tripping away, and we'll have to replace it again. So. Next page. And then we have, the Museum Laboratory Edition. Just looked at the top. I almost missed that. Do you want to come up, Lori, to discuss that with historians?
Well, while she's coming up, I can give a little update. Last meeting, we discussed talking to Greg regarding the capital ordinance that's being done for the road system, and he's going to have put on that $65,000 capital for the museum, which the committee can decide when that's back, when the ordinance is in front of us, in or out.
If we want to strike it or keep it.
It's sort of ready to go, but there'll be a decision, I guess, either next meeting or the meeting after that for the adoption of the ordinance, whichever one, to have it in or out.
Okay. So how does this come into play?
Could
you pull that microphone to you?
So how does this come into play with the bids?
Put that microphone
it doesn't.
So I mean, are we going out? We're going out for bids, or we went out?
We haven't made that decision yet.
Okay, so this is
decision.
Just in here in a holding tank.
We have to have the financing ready in order to go back out
okay.
for bid.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now that now that they came out that high, we have to have at least make sure we have the money available if we decide to go out again.
Okay.
So if we don't decide, it sits there, and then we can get it gets absorbed back into capital, or we decide to strike it out, and we don't decide we're not going out, we just strike it from the ordinance.
Right.
And the original money we allocated goes back into capital.
Okay.
But this gives us the option.
Mm-hmm. I didn't hear what Mike said.
I was just updating. Last meeting, we discussed that we have a capital ordinance in preparation, and we would add that additional funding for the museum on in a manner that the committee can vote in or out when we get to that ordinance.
And what is that? So then the total, because you have money from 2015 as well, right, held aside to that? So what would that total come to?
We have a bond ordinance of $75,000, which hasn't been borrowed.
Yeah. So it'd be like 75 and 65.
Yeah, it'd be 140.
Correct.
Okay.
40.
But that can be adjusted as well.
Right. Just it's there in case.
Yeah. Correct.
Okay.
If we decide, do we want to go out to bid? But if we decide, you know, but if we decide to go out to bid and we don't have it there, then we have to do another ordinance.
Okay.
And pay bond counsel to come up with another, you know. So it just, for efficiency purposes, it makes sense.
Yep.
So you just need to decide if you're going to add an additional, what, $65,000, I think is what you said last time?
Correct.
Well, I think the decision is going to be whether we do it or not do it. Yeah. I think what we've come to the conclusion is that the price to do it, the realistic cost to do it, would be $140,000, including the septic system.
Sure.
So we either, it's sort of a binary decision. We either do it or we don't do it. And
how
we
find
did discuss
our different options.
Pardon me?
We were talking at the picnic about doing volunteers. Can you do part of it volunteer? I know that Dick's saying you can't separate it because I'd asked him at the last meeting. So is there any way that we can get parts of, you know, look for people to do parts of it volunteer?
I would emphasize that, for example, the painting of the building, the painting of the interior walls and the like is not included in the bid spec because that would be done by volunteers. Presumably, if the committee felt it made sense, we could carve other parts out. But I think going into the bid process, the thought was that a general contractor should coordinate the plumbing, the electrical, all the trades, because if we pull some of that out, it's unlikely to succeed as well as if the general contractor does it. That was the decision that was made at the bid time.
Not only that, there are some limitations on public construction contracts in terms of separating out parts of the bid. So you can't say, all right, the plumbers will bid that one, and we'll do this one. So there's limitations that we have in that regard.
That's what I mean. What is our alternative? Because being a government project is what's making it cost so much.
It's contributing.
Largely contributing. Yes. I mean, almost doubling the cost of it.
But I think you're here tonight because there was a question last week on some of
the usage
and the like.
Usage. Is that you have all that. Unless I go get my...
I don't have it printed out. I do.
Okay. You don't have it?
So do we want it?
It's on my... I have an email on it. It comes out that I think we're averaging close to 100 people a month for the past couple of years. A few, it's gone down.
You're open, I believe, 2 days?
We're open week? 3 days a week and three 20, week? Total of 20 hours. And that was...
We're open up at the discretion of the council up here.
The committee.
Whatever the committee allows us to be open, so we're open.
So now you're open basically 20 hours a week.
20 hours.
Is it 100 visits or 100 different people, or don't we know?
I would say it's 100 different people a month, but it might be the same people the next month. So she has, because every month she gives us a curator's report, and it tells how many people visited. So it would be 100, it might be the same 100 people next month. We see it increasing now that we started this scavenger hunt. There's a lot of interest, and Maria has posted different things. So we've on our Facebook page, there's a lot of interest, and just since we did the scavenger hunt, we probably have more than 150 people of like the Friends of the Museum.
Has anybody thought about? I mean, especially if you increase interest in the museum, instead of doing the bathroom addition, possibly putting in more parking where the septic would be, and maybe, I don't know, I haven't looked into it, but renting a upscale port-a-john and putting it in the parking lot.
In the past, they've done the plans and the engineering for parking, and it didn't change our parking because then we would no longer be able to park in the front and that side building, so we only gained a few spaces. The buses wouldn't be allowed to, go to the front. That's why the project was abandoned.
So that whole side yard, even with the side...
It's very limited to how many spaces we could put in there.
And Bev, I'm not sure, and Brian may have an opinion on this, but I'm not sure that if you were going to take out the current facilities and replace them with slightly more modern facilities, whether that would be permitted by the Board of Health. I'm afraid.
She meant parking facilities.
Oh,
there are no facilities there.
Got it.
You know, if they're going to increase people coming to the museum, especially, you know, with Maria's plans, if you don't have any parking, you know, and if you have a little bit of a parking spot and then you could maybe rent a port-a-john, you could rent one for a year.
But the port-a-john was exactly basically what we have now. So.
Well, no, not really. That's
well,
like a cistern.
You could actually purchase a port-a-john.
Right. Yeah. There are some other options. I'm just saying, especially if you're going to plan on increasing the interest in the museum.
In our outhouse, it's a very nice outhouse.
I've been there. I didn't say I went. I've used it, but I have. But anyway,
the problem is cold in the winter.
Yeah.
No lighting at night to get to it.
Right.
And I would emphasize the addition that we're discussing, obviously it puts a restroom facility in, but it also puts sink, indoor plumbing. It's, you know, the building does not have indoor
running
plumbing.
Water,
so
we have no running water.
For any kind of reception when they have art displays and the like, there's no way to wash a dish. There's no way to wash your hands. I think that's a big limiting factor on the use of it.
Just box it up and take it home and clean everything.
Yeah. I mean, and the other aspect it does is it provides a basement area that would allow us to then put in a boiler to get off of propane and go to an oil heat and those window units is the propane. It does have other purposes than just bathroom.
A place to store our stuff, too, because that's going
to have some storage.
Better storage than out in our shed.
Right.
Well, I just think about, and again, it's
don't get me wrong, it's expensive.
Exactly. I mean, you're talking withholding money on your infrastructure spending to do that, for example, like if we have to make choices.
Mm-hmm.
There's no choice in my mind in that case.
Yeah. Well,
we can go through.
Our budget is getting very well. We're getting our debt down, so we should be by 2020. We should be able to breathe a little better.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the way first of all, on the financing side, we can go through the capital fund that we have, and right now we're not in a position of choosing between one or another. It's not buy the ambulance or put the addition on the museum. I think that should be viewed as a priority whether it's a good investment to put the addition on the museum.
Oh, I agree, 100%.
But we have capital reserve for the financing of that.
But I think about even down the road from what I'm reading about the school taxes, the state aid, and how it's going to affect our township and some of the other townships if they cut back, if it passes. And where is that going to come from? And, you know, it's just because I'm not thinking just this year.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, our taxes just went up, too.
Mm-hmm.
So. Dick, what are you smiling about?
I'm just thinking about what a lovely discussion this is among people. It's so reasonable. Very nice.
Well, and we have to consider our taxes just went up.
That's
also.
Right. Yeah. You know, so it's just, I'm not a short-term thinker, too. So it's.
What I'd like to say is, I think as we think about this, though, right now we have the museum. It doesn't have indoor plumbing. It doesn't have facilities. I think as time progresses, there will be less and less interest in using a building without indoor plumbing. And I think, to me, there's a little bit of a... I think the way I'm looking at it is, if we put this addition on, we can enhance the usage of the building, we can have more art exhibits, we can have more community affairs in that building. If we choose not to invest to expand the restroom, I think we have to think seriously about why we maintain the building, because we're not going to increase usage. It's going to have much less functionality. And I think that's a little bit of the, you know, not to be overly dramatic about it, but I think there's a crossroad that we need to decide on here. Do we keep that as a viable long-term facility for the community, or do we prioritize other areas and let that building, you know, reach its end?
We also have when our curator retires, she can go home to go to the bathroom. Our new one might not have that.
Right now, the building is historically authentic.
It is historic.
Yeah.
Put inside. I mean, when we talk about porta-johns, I mean, how realistic in the technology? I mean, you see composting toilets. Can we get? Can we put a small building that would be a side of the thing that would be almost like it's a self-contained bathroom? So we wouldn't.
That was costing more money. We investigated.
Did you?
The compost, when they went for the grant, Tom Burrell really looked into. He went to the MusConnect on their place that they have in Asbury,
mm-hmm.
and it was one you have to constantly put.
Bio agent or some kind of
something. You have to spread it and move it around. So we do not see Joe nor Deanna going to do that.
Victor is good at, like, spreading mulch around and all kinds of stuff.
Very good at that stuff. I
truly am. Give him a longer handle.
We're spreading some right now.
Yeah,
let's get a little serious about this, folks. Looking at a building that represents our township, has our history of our township. You do away with supporting this particular addition, which I believe with you is too much. But I also believe it's because of the fact that you got to put this bond, that bond, you got to pay this wage, that wage. We're stuck. We got a small building. We have to adhere to up the kazoo, just like Warren has to do with his roads. Tell the DEP and some of those people they can show it up here and we proceed. But you do away with this building, you're going to have this building just going to deteriorate. And the history of the township is going to be the same thing. It's going to deteriorate. Who's going to keep the records? Who's going to tell you who did what in 1930? Who did what in 2010? Who the hell is Mark Law? What was he mayor of? Nobody knows. They won't know because there'll be no record of it. We won't keep it. This is what we're after. Be able to sustain a building that will keep our history. And I've heard this committee say we want to talk about community. More people in the community now have found out where this building is in the last couple of years, so we have gotten involved with other activities. We've gotten involved with the fire department. We've gotten involved with the recreation. And we'll continue to get involved. By getting involved with these people, they're getting involved with us. More people are looking at the museum. We can do away with it. You'll save your money. You'll waste it some other place. But I think this is, you're going to waste it, at least waste it on the community where they can come in and see. We lost people coming to our museum because, A, they couldn't park. You asked about putting the parking lot in. We looked at that a couple years ago. It will not add a significant amount. We will have to then close the parking lot in front of the museum and to the side. We'll lose spots. We wouldn't be able to turn the bus around in there. So we would lose trips, class trips. And we have lost class trips because, A, parents nowadays are too good, you know, they're too good to have the kids go down and relieve themselves in an outhouse. Like, we would be glad to do if we were on the road. I know I was a few times, and I was a mailman. Very glad to have that. Yeah, I know we can swim, but there's bicycles around here that's pretty, and thank you every time you get the opportunity. Yes, we can bring it back. Yes, we can make it. Oh, yeah, it's historical. Yes, it is historical. You go to a historical place right now and go in your bathrooms. You'll hear, gee, they got a flush toilet. Son of a gun. That's not historical, but it is. It is convenient. I dare any of you gentlemen up there, Bev, I'll leave you out of this right now. Tell your wives, next 6 months, honey, we're going to bring in a port-a-john. That's all you're going to use 24 hours a day, next 6 months. Some of you aren't going to eat too well. So I'm asking you to give this a thought. Yes, it's money-wise. It's going to cost a little bit of money. But don't make me go back and reiterate where we spent money needlessly. Go well over $130,000. To me, it's not even an argument part of that. It's something you just look yourself in the mirror and say, yes, I took pride in our community, and I voted for that $65,000 extra so we can have a good museum that we can say, listen, kids, I helped make that a little bit better. Grandkids will come to it and say, hey, Grandpa, thank you. And we'll be able to store some more, like the stuff you had here in the office of the Assayer. Some of the stuff can come down to us, where people can see it. I don't see much of an argument here. I really don't. I don't see where you should be up for a real good discussion.
I think it's absolutely good for a good discussion, because if we don't, then the rest of the community that doesn't see the view you have would say, why didn't you talk about it? Why didn't you discuss it? This is absolutely our position to discuss not endorsing it or endorsing it. If we don't take both...
They know where the museum is.
Well, that's not the point. The point is we're here to make sure we discuss what are all of our options, if that means closing it down or putting the addition on. If we don't do that, we're not doing our job. Period. There's no question about it. We have to do that.
You
that's what we're...
Well, and I don't see it as, I mean, to me, that's a little extreme.
I'm not saying we're closing it down, but the point is it's our job to decide where we're going with this and to make sure we're looking at all the possibilities. And if that's, if it's because we lose somebody, that means they're not going to use a port-a-john, and then that means we have to shut it down. That's one of those realistic things that would happen. So we have to recognize that if we don't do this, we might not have a curator, so it would be shut down. It'd be the effect of it. It wouldn't be that we'd have to shut it down. It's because we don't have this it gets shut down because there's nobody that's going to step up and say, I'm going to use an outhouse and be the curator of this. So we have to look at all these positions and say, okay, yeah, and we have to spend $140,000 to put this addition on, or whatever, somewhere in between. If we don't look at all these positions, then we're not doing our job. And I understand your passion. You're involved with historians. You should be passionate about it. But it's our job to make sure, just like I'm ticking off Jimmy, that I'm asking him that we want to look at this ambulance and save $30,000 potentially. I want to make sure we're doing the right thing for the community. I'm not here to, make everybody my friend. I'm here to make sure that the community understands we're doing what we were elected to do. So that's my 2 cents.
And keep in mind that, back to the details, if I'm not mistaken, the maximum capacity there is 25 people at one point in time. Now, I don't know if adding the bathroom increases that at all.
It's a fire. I think that's a fire issue.
So I haven't found that listed in place of the building.
Well, it probably should be.
Where did you see that at?
I heard it, and I don't remember where I heard it.
And right now, that's not even valid. It's a hearsay thrown out.
Well, okay. So we need to have somebody go down there and look at it? I don't know.
The fire official did. Yeah.
The fire official said it then. Okay.
Do you know?
I don't know.
That's what he does.
I honestly believe, Mark, if we should have to come to the point where we can't find a curator because we don't have a bathroom, it does have to close down. I think it'll cost you more than $130,000 to reopen it.
Oh, I'm sure it will. And that's the point of having this conversation, yeah. Is like that would be the result. If somebody votes down doing this, understand that this is a likely result of us not doing it. And that's the way I view Mike's comment, is that if we don't do this, the likely result is this would close down, and then ultimately it would probably cost us more, because then we'd have to bring up the different codes.
Well, if you do close it down, will you not also have to maintain it?
Mm-hmm. Like the state.
And you also have to find places for what is in there. In some respect, I would say that you might almost be... tied up, because you're going to have to allocate money.
No, I understand that completely.
But where should it go for alternatives? So we agree that it's very expensive to do.
Yeah.
We're all on this, that page. But
I also believe we should have it.
Yeah,
but how do we get there?
Where do we go and find an alternative now that we found, we never in a million years, because a committee, I wouldn't say it was this committee, had approved us of submitting a $60,000 grant that was going to cover all of this until I started looking in. It was no way. We're almost...
Can we have a fundraiser? Can we have a fundraiser?
What can we do?
Can we have a private donor help out? Can we bundle it all?
Just to be clear, those are two different discussions, because I think going to your discussion of alternatives, I think we've been researching this with the architect and legally and the like, and I think the committee, my advice to the committee is that if we're going to do this, it's going to cost about $140,000, and I don't think there are alternatives. We've discussed with the architect, what if we took the storage room off the back?
That would be a small little change.
I have a silly question.
Exactly. There's no real alternative here.
You're claiming there's no water. Is there a well?
No, there is water.
There's water outside. There's no indoor plumbing.
Indoor plumbing. So there is a well.
We have a crank.
There's a hydrant outside.
No, we have electric wells.
I think we try to have a fundraiser. We try it.
So funding it is a second.
Victor?
That's why we sent in the order.
Pennies for the pooper.
That's a great one.
What?
I love it. Pennies for the pooper.
Yeah. I'll volunteer to be the first one to use the I will lead the way. Some will follow, and those that don't.
I think that's great. Every dollar counts.
Sorry. To some extent, this has been looked into. I think we should discuss as well that to renew a 501c3 in order to get reasonable donations, because you're not going to get $140,000 selling ornaments for the Christmas tree.
Right.
We'd have to allow them to spend ballpark $1,000 to reestablish this charitable donation.
Would we be able to do that? But then we would have to talk to... Kim would be able to help us, because then we would be just like the park, friends of the museum, and then the park has it, and the friends of the park, the two separate things. Well, that's what they're telling us, because there used to be two,
There was Squire.
I'm on the Senate committee for this.
We just never kept it up.
Yeah, that's a good, good point. Yeah.
I didn't hear your point.
I said a subcommittee.
We should form a subcommittee. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. In this price that we had gotten, did that include getting water from the well into the building?
Oh, yeah. That was. That
but
was
it wasn't including septic.
Right. Well, 140 includes the septic.
No, but no. The price we got, the original, that bid, the only, the one bid.
Right, the bid.
Yeah, the bid was 147 plus another for the septic. And
correct. That did not include the septic. Mm-hmm. But that was.
Well, they said it's still high.
But it's all because of the government, the requirements of a
Well,
I do believe if you are kind enough to take it out and rebid it so the work can be done late fall into the winter months, I believe we'll find people who are more susceptible to putting in a better bid.
Now, can you put a bid out there for longer periods?
Yes. You know, yeah, and that's one of the comments said that they wanted, you know, that they would have liked to see a longer opportunity. I thought it was extreme,
and,
but...
And we're able to go out, because I've called a few people to have them at least come in and look at it. You know, a lot of... One didn't have time to do it. Another, I don't know why they...
Yeah, I would definitely agree on a longer bid.
But we can't do it unless we approve... Until we have the money available.
So you can do the money, and then you just... If it comes too much, we just never use the money.
Correct.
Right.
Correct. Correct. Right. Yeah. So, but first, we can't even authorize going out for bid now that we kind of know that the numbers are going to come back higher than where we the 75 grand until we have a bigger pool of money to pull from when the bids, because we can't approve a bid if we don't have the money to support it.
Okay. So, what you just want to do is be able to do add the 65 into this next
capital bond, capital earnings.
Was sworn what we did last time.
Correct.
Okay. Maybe you could get something into a newsletter that, you know, your plan as the historians, we're looking for, you are looking, not us, but you are looking for someone to bid on. I'm just throwing that out there. I don't know.
Well, that's
legal or not.
We might be able to do it for this next one, but under the current one, we've never had the time. We didn't
right, I understand. Yeah, right. Yeah.
We had no clue what it was going to be.
Because I don't doubt there's some local contractors that don't have any clue about this going on, and maybe they would have it. You know, we don't know. So
some of them would not touch it because of the bidding and
I understand.
Regulations for pricing.
Yeah,
so what happens if we put aside $140,000 and say it comes back $135,000, we get a bid like that, but it doesn't include the septic, then where are we?
Yeah.
We can still approve it, but then we'd have to approve other money for the septic at another point. So then we could go into 2018 realistically and have money in that budget to do the septic. If all the bids came back at $135,000 and we have to make that decision, again, is this... Knowing that and plus the septic value would be on top of it, mm-hmm. but we, as long as that bid comes back under 140,
mm-hmm.
we would have the availability to approve that bid, and then we could. The septic is not included in that original package, so it could be done as a separate item.
Okay. Now it was said to me that the septic would be roughly $16,000, which I find low, and I'm wondering, is that because we know somebody is going to donate some kind of labor for it?
We've already gone out to request proposals on that. Steve Reese, the engineer, has proposals. Now they're aging a bit.
Yeah.
Mm.
But those are real numbers.
Okay.
Because it's a small system.
It's a small system.
20, you know, it's over 20 hours a week, and all you're using it is to flush the toilet and wash your hands. No showering, no
water. Right. Mm-hmm. The wash machine makes a big contributing square footage size of the septic.
That's right. You know all this.
Yeah.
So we'll decide next time, and then maybe at that time, can we do like maybe because you can only have two people for your committee and
correct. If we all approved allocating the 65, or you know, three of us do, then we can establish a subcommittee to work on, you know, if there's other options. But I mean, we can go out the bid.
Can we get someone to donate us money and put it in that trust account?
I think you have to be a 501c to be able to do it.
Actually, at one point in time, we did look, and a person can make a charitable contribution to a municipality. What I don't know, and what we'd have to check with probably the auditor, is whether or not there can be a segregation of those funds devoted solely to the purpose of the historical association.
Well, we're supposed to be in someone's will, whatever's left once they, because they're living in a assisted living.
Oh, that guy, that little statue. Don't say any names. It's a little statue.
Okay, good.
We don't even know if he's still alive.
He, she, doesn't matter.
I don't want to say yes or no because I don't know all the details.
So it won't be worth trying to go out and get people to donate at this point.
Now, just remind me the historical. You're not a commission. You're
nothing yet.
You're nothing.
You're a lot. You're just not legally something specific.
Yes.
Well, you're private from the township then?
No.
They're appointed, but there's no ordinance establishing
them. Right, okay.
It's been since 81. So
well,
we're grandfathered.
You would have to answer that. We would have to get answered the question probably for either from the CFO or more likely from the auditor as to whether or not funds that are donated to you, to that organization, could be segregated into a trust fund in the budget. Right. But the bottom line is the auditor has to sign off on that.
Okay, we already have a trust fund, so okay.
No, I understand. But the question is, can those funds that come in be segregated and be in a part of the budget that is separate from the general funds of the municipality?
They
go in the general funds. That's like
it is the case today that if somebody comes in, as occasionally happens, and makes a $100 donation, that goes into a segregated historian's trust.
So maybe they're already.
Whether it's a big, whether a large donation could fit, I don't know.
I
should just check with the auditor.
I think normally whether it's $1 or $1 million, it's going to be the same thing. But I just run it by the auditor because that's his bailiwick, not so much money.
I just feel like
$2,000.
You know, I would like to see us make this happen, but with the least amount of impact to the taxpayers' money. I'd rather, you know, let's put some skin in the game, see if we can try to get something set up, whatever it takes to get something set up.
That's fine.
Then you got me. Then I'm there. It's just so.
Thank you, Lori. Thank you, Victor. No.
If this takes longer to get the bid and acceptance, are we allowing a rate of inflation into your money that you're holding, that you're proposing to allocate out? I mean, if we take a year or so to do this, prices of material and labor will also increase. So is there any type of
Well, I think that 140, I think, is we already kind of allocated a contingency into that, figuring on what the architect felt the number should come back as. So I think there is some cushion in there already.
Thank you.
Now, historians again. this is a request to nominate Maria Nacarato to the Historians Committee. Yeah, she's a glutton for punishment.
Mm-hmm.
I get a motion to approve her nomination to the Historians.
I'll make a motion to approve the nomination of Maria Nacarato to the Historians Committee.
I'll second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Then we have a notice from Joanne Fasinelli, our recycling coordinator, that we are going to have another townwide shredding event for the residents. It is going to be on October 7th, 2017, from 9 a.m. to 12 noon at the municipal building. Do we just have to have a motion to approve this, Karen?
I guess you could.
Okay.
You know, either way.
Just in case.
As long as you're, that's fine.
Can I get a motion to approve this allocation? Because it is $585.
Make a motion to approve the free townwide paper shredding event of October 7th, 2016, from 17 from 9 o'clock a.m. to 12 noon here at the municipal building.
I'll second.
Could I ask a quick question before the vote? Then it says that the $585 is from the buildings and grounds budget. Couldn't this come from the Clean Communities grant program? I sure. Joanne would know that.
That.
Doesn't?
I don't think it can.
Yeah.
Never mind. I don't think
That's the first thing I was thinking, too, when I saw it, and I said, no.
So we have got it covered.
Well, roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Yes.
You did, I thought.
Did I second it?
I thought I heard you second it.
Okay, then I second it.
I heard you second it.
Sorry, I forgot.
I didn't hear it.
Okay.
The next item is a memo regarding closing on the Monday of July 3rd. If all the staff are looking to use their own time, and it says that this will not affect, you know, library and museum since they're closed already on Mondays. Basically, it's a memo requesting that if we have any problem with the municipal building being closed on the Monday before 4th of July, as long as the employees are willing to use their own personal days to take the day off. But it means that, right, as I interpret that correctly?
Just as a comment to separate it, because it says municipal building and DPW, and since he happens to be here, but I checked with Warren earlier in the week, and he indicated that it's unlikely that everyone would want to take the day off.
Well, I just know that there's a couple of them that don't have the time to take off, so.
So I think, you know, the supervisor manages that department, and if he manages that day with a skeleton crew or however it works out, I think closing the DPW as this memo contemplates is not required.
Right. Well, that's where my next statement was then to the supervisors of the office and the yeah. and the DPW of is if you know that could be managed and you know how that you know I mean you having more staff you're a little more if there's no issues there I mean and obviously if you're willing to work with a skeleton crew for the day I don't see a problem with it. I mean, is there any other?
I'm just going to ask the question. If there was ever a need to call people back in, say something went wrong, is everybody accessible or not? I don't know.
Yeah, I am.
You know, I'm just asking it just in case.
Yeah, generally, they are.
For the municipal offices, there would be three on a normal Monday, right?
Yes.
And is it confirmed
just
that all...
Just Kim and Gail and I.
Is it confirmed that all three... One
oh, no, I'm sorry, John's
day?
Here also.
One Monday at John's here. Mm-hmm.
I don't know if who Gail spoke with about it, quite honestly.
Because, I mean, my concern was I don't want to see one person here,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
alone. I mean,
right.
It has to be kind of a unanimous decision that everybody's yeah. willing to take that day yeah. on their
I'll
own.
I'll confirm that, but I would assume that the CWA spoke about it to the members before they put in the request.
Have you gotten requests from all three members for vacation that day?
No. Did the members speak together about it? Is that how that was triggered? Do you know?
I'm off.
Yeah, Kim had already requested off.
Right.
So it probably happened that everybody else spoke and said, well, we really want to be off too, so because it's that hump day, you know.
I also just want to make sure we don't have any sort of miscommunication here where the township closes the building and then it's not a vacation day because people don't have to report to work because we close the building. I think.
Oh no,
that's what
they
I think
would have to use their own time for it.
Whatever this agreement is, has to be carefully stated that because no one will be showing up that day, the building will be closed.
Yeah, I would verify on their time card.
So your resolution would say, providing there's unanimous agreement among the union members, I guess.
And then this would be the white collar. Well, no. Well, and it has to include the supervisor as well.
Right. The union and other.
All employees. I would say all employees
all
working
collar.
In the municipal yeah. building, because it's just in the municipal building now.
Right.
Unless the police are included in municipal building. Because
no.
Well,
sorry,
not included. It would no. It would be Kathy though. It would include
right.
Kathy and this, the CWA members.
I'm just saying, technically, when we say the municipal building excluding the police headquarters, or I don't know what the language has to be, but I would want to be very precise on how we're doing
it. So the way this works is that the road department guys who are part of the union are still going to work?
I think the supervisor manages that.
Yet. I don't know that yet. I know I have a couple on vacation, but I don't know that. All I'm saying is from the standpoint of knowing what they have on for vacation and stuff like that, there's one guy who only has 5 days left. For the whole year, the rest of the year, so I don't know.
You may not want to take off,
right.
in other words, what you're
fine.
Saying.
I mean, I can send them out mowing. That's not a big deal. So, I mean, it's not an issue of having something for them to do.
Yes, I don't think they're part of this discussion. DPW will be functioning however the supervisor
Police
manages it.
Will be functioning.
Right.
I think the secretary's on vacation that week.
So, but
that's
I mean,
issue there.
In terms of a resolution, it would be... Whereas there's been a request by the CWA and other white-collar employees to be able to close the municipal building. Now, I guess employees can take off a vacation day if they want to, in terms of the road department.
Subject to approval from their supervisor.
Yeah. Well, is really the question here, the question is really, if you don't have three employees from the building who request vacation days, then you would still keep the building open? Because that's really the only question, isn't it?
Well, no, I don't want to see one person here.
Right.
I want to see Karen stay
right.
here or whatever,
so
you know, whoever,
if all,
John.
If
you know,
all of the white-collar employees in the municipal building elect to take vacation days so that there would be no coverage, the building will be closed.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that basically?
Yes.
And everybody
yeah.
else is sort of on their own. You're,
right, that,
you're
the different departments.
Right, except for the police
department. The building will be
yeah.
closed.
That's
that
typically.
Day.
The only, I may have to be here anyway because we have a meeting on the 5th, so I may have to be here. But yeah. if I am, I'm
you
fine
are.
With being here
doesn't
by myself.
Well, then the doors can be locked.
Is.
You can lock
yeah,
the doors
I'll
and basically,
the
and you can also say that.
Yeah.
You know.
See, and to me, that doesn't require any action. Then, if the, I mean, in this case, referring to you as the supervisor, if you supervise the personnel and allow them all to have the day off, there's no action.
Well,
required.
The action would be you lock the door. So,
but that would
yeah.
be normal course
like
of business when one person.
I
here.
See. Okay.
Give you my
okay.
Can of
Sorry. Okay.
Yeah. I mean.
I guess the question would be, is if the staff can use a vacation day, can the building be closed that day? And I'll use it as my discretion as to whether or not it would be.
Yeah.
I'll
depending
make that
on
motion.
My workload.
I think that's exactly right.
I'll yeah. make that motion.
Okay. As so long as the building can be closed. I guess that's really the question. Can the building be closed that day? And then based on the staffing, I'll decide whether, as long as I have your approval tonight, to do that.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
Motion's on the table. Need a second.
So the building will be closed to the public is really what you're talking
correct.
About.
Potentially yeah. closed.
As compared to the mm-hmm. as compared to the police to address. So it's closed to the public is really what it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll second it.
Okay. And roll call.
Yes.
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 I think that was more complicated than we need to make it, but
I have to think it through. Due diligence.
Exactly. They get through it. We have minutes from the recreation regarding their activities from May. We had a nature walk.
I think you missed vouchers.
Did I miss vouchers?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I did miss vouchers. Sorry.
Yeah,
I missed vouchers. So, Brian, do you have any vouchers?
I have none that qualified.
I have some that qualify. I've got a payment of the July school tax to the Lebanon Township Board of Education for $1,654,333. And I have one payment to North Hunterdon Voorhees Regional High School, July school tax for $921,360.33. That's it.
I have one. It's actually for Bev Kohler. For the all the expenses from the volunteer picnic, for $2,468.16.
So I've got the DPW stack and others here. So first, I've got postage for the 2017-18 tax bills, $1,200. C&M Auto Parts, a long list of different spare parts, $1,172.16. Campbell Foundry, these are the catchpin covers, $10,085. That's for a number of them, 15 different things. Cooperative Communications, $1,053.90. Eastern Concrete Materials, multiple loads of stone for $1,391.57. Green Tree Logic, duplicate payment, as we passed tonight, for a refund of a duplicate tax payment, $1,619.97. Hunterdon County Clerk's Office, primary election cost, $3,788.62. And NJEIT payment, this is for open space debt that we have outstanding, $31,448.06.
I have one here for Lawman Supply Company, New Jersey, which is for seven individual ballistic vests at a cost of $7,105. I have Gephardt and Kiefer here. This is related to the Mount Laurel decisions, $1,049.09. I have a Gephardt and Kiefer, which is general services rendered for March through April, $8,395.89. And I have the shared court with Tewksbury, which is the second quarter 2017, which is $9,471.75. That's it.
Can I get a motion to approve the vouchers?
I'll make a motion to approve the vouchers.
I'll second.
Roll call.
Yes.
Abstain.
Yes.
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 Now I can go to correspondence. We have the minutes from the rec meeting from May 4th. They have, I guess they had 150 kids come out and 300 adults for the Easter egg hunt. Looks like they had 12 people come out to a nature walk at the Mountain Farm Ravine, and they're in the midst with the historians the scavenger hunt. Anything else before I open to the public? You have anything, Jack, or are you just happy to be here?
Happy to be here.
Can I get a motion to open the public?
I'll make a motion to open a public comment.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Okay. Right now, open to public comment.
We don't answer questions.
No, we don't.
Lori Hoffman. I thought at the last meeting you entered into an agreement with Reddington to do the tax assessor.
Stick around.
You would think that, wouldn't you?
Yeah, that's what I was. I was real confused. Okay.
Anyone else? Seeing none, can I get a motion to close?
Motion to close public comment.
I'll second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Okay. Then can I get a motion to go into executive? It is going to be for...
let me get my list here.
Yeah, it is a number
the tax assessor... The tax assessor contract, affordable housing, new litigation involving a claim that's just been filed against the township, and I believe that's it. Three items.
I get a motion to go into executive.
So moved.
Is that resolution 72-2017?
72, yes.
Mm-hmm. I'll second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Oh, just we may be coming out into public. We probably will be coming out into public session. So those of you who have nothing else to do this evening can hang around.
It's a nice night out.
Yeah.
That's right. And I'd say we'll go in the first section will be the new litigation so Warren can get out of here.
Okay.
Motion of privilege.
Motion of privilege. Mm-hmm.